Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for taking time out to join us today, wherever you are. If you're watching, you can see this face that's made for radio. If you're listening, just be glad you don't have to see this face made for radio.
That makes two. Me and you, brother, me and you.
I'm excited about today's topic. This is something that I think it kind of piggybacks off of something we already started a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
which I think is good. Sometimes you kind of like dive on that bone, and there's still meat left on the bone. You got to go ahead and get the rest of it.
There was a lot we could have said.
Oh yeah.
In our previous podcast, I think we were talking about we called it Mercenary Ministry. So any of you who may not have listened to it, you can go back and listen to that, and then, you know, see how this connects to that. We're Mercenary Ministry. We talked a bit about ministers in relation to money. I'm just going to say it like that: ministers and money.
Yeah.
Ministers of the gospel, ministers of music, maybe ministers of music in particular. You know, we kind of hung out there for a while. So, what we're going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about exposing mammon.
Exposing mammon. Exposing mammon. Mammon is a very interesting word. I will not, and I guess we should not assume that everybody knows what mammon is. Do you want to give a bit of a definition, Troy?
Yeah, man. So, well, I'm trying to remember where the passage is. I probably should have brought it up. But Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he was telling them that you cannot serve two masters.
Matthew chapter 6.
There you go. Because
yeah.
you will love one and despise the other, right? Mm-hmm. Or hate the other. I think that's what it says.
Right.
Or you'll cling to one and despise the other. So, and he said, he gives you what the other master is in that passage. He said, you can't serve God and mammon.
Yes.
Mammon is what it equates to is riches.
Yeah.
The wealth, money.
Or in layman's terms, money.
Money.
Yeah.
But I like that passage, Bruce, and you and I have talked about this before, and I think you really stressed that because he said that you will hate one.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not a might. You will love one, and you will hate the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a
that's
maybe.
Heavy, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because Jesus is saying this, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, you know, I mean, it's Jesus. I guess that's all I really need to say about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
You know, you might say, well, maybe Paul, maybe Peter had a little something going. Maybe it was only dealing with a certain sickness. No, Jesus said it.
Red letters, baby.
Red letters. Red letters. Full stop. You know?
Yeah, man.
So in layman's terms, we're going to be talking about money. Now, for me, Troy, I will say this. When I think about the word mammon, right, I believe mammon was used I know it was used in the New King James Version of the Bible. It may be used in some other versions. I kind of think about it from two perspectives. I think about mammon as a spirit,
mm-hmm.
but I also think about mammon as a physical, maybe I'll say representation of that spirit. And what I mean by that is, because Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon, right?
That's right.
So it's interesting that he uses mammon in a way as if mammon is an individual. Mammon is alive. Mammon is an entity of some sort, right?
Right.
We know mammon to be money.
Yes.
And when we think about mammon, we think about money. So I just wanted to put that in there as we get started into this, you know, and go down this road a little bit. If for no other reason, just to maybe help some people who, you know, this may be a very new discussion for them, talking about mammon and exposing who and what mammon is, and why the church, the body of Christ, needs to really, really understand what has been said, what's been left on record, Troy, for us in relation to this thing called mammon. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I thought about as we were preparing for this, you know, to get on, come online and talk about this a little bit, I thought about how many ministers that I have seen come from other countries. They come to America. I know a lot of them were sincere when they arrived. They believed, many of them believed that they were called to be missionaries to America. That sounds real great, and that's wonderful. But I've seen some men that it seemed like something changed after they were here for a little while. And
yeah.
Honestly, it didn't seem like it took a long time. I won't call anybody by name. That's not what we're doing. I'm just speaking in generalities based on some of the things that I've seen, Troy. And this is the way when I kind of laid this before the Lord, man, and I'm like, God, what am I seeing? What's going on here, right? Because it seemed like I don't follow a lot of people. I don't follow a lot of teaching. I tend to stay with some of the older ministers of the gospel, some of the old school guys. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So when I need something, either I'm going directly to the Word, which is the best thing you can do, and let Holy Spirit help you, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there are people, specific people that I follow. I don't want to go down, you know, too deep a rabbit hole on that. My point is that I don't follow a whole lot of modern day preachers today, especially not on social media. But there are a few that I have seen that I've heard speak, and I'm like, okay, I like that. That's pretty good. He or she is sticking to the Word of God. Pretty daggone good, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking specifically about those that I've seen that have come from other countries and have come to America. But something happens, and all of a sudden they start talking about money more than Jesus. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. We're going to jump into this thing, right? They start talking more about money. They start having seminars about money. They start having, you know, Zoom meetings and personal meetings, and it's around how to get money, how to make money, and, you know, how to have wealth and that kind of thing. I am not saying to anybody listening and or watching, I am not saying that there is a problem being wealthy, not at all. I'm not saying that there's a problem having money, not at all. I think right. The thing that I want to accomplish today, Troy, with you, is at least getting the body of Christ to think about where am I personally where money is concerned.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I went long.
No, you're fine. That's the key is finding out. So, yeah, well, finding out this and then really having Holy Spirit locate you.
Yes.
To where you know you've been located.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because sometimes in your heart you feel like, no, money's not that big of an issue to me.
Yeah.
But then when we start talking about certain things, you're like, wait, that's a bigger issue than I thought it was. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right,
and,
right.
And to your
right.
point, nothing wrong with money in and of itself. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not what the Word says. It says the
it's
love
not
of
what
it.
It says. I'm glad you brought that up.
So it's not the money in and of itself. Money is a tool. You can use that to build a house. You can use that to destroy a country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It depends on the intent of the heart of the person that has it.
Absolutely.
And so when we get down to it, especially in this discussion, and I think you mentioned this earlier, for some people, you know, that's new to this life and all this kind of stuff, yeah, this might be kind of hard to hear.
Well, it might be, but I think, you know, like most of the Word of God, you know, there's some stuff in there that just, you know, makes you go, ooh, you know, sometimes, right? And
oh, yeah.
This may very well be one of them, you know, and that's why I want to stress the point that, you know, we God has blessed me tremendously, man. And it's not just spiritual blessing, but it's spiritual blessing first, right?
There you go.
But you know what I'm saying? So he's blessed me internally. Oh, I think that's a good way to say it. He has blessed my wife and I and my family internally.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree that it's now manifested externally. How about that?
Yeah.
But one of the things, Troy, that I will be very open and honest and transparent about is One of the reasons that this subject of mammon and money is near and dear to my heart is because I know what God brought me out of. You know, you can find yourself loving God and loving money, right? And not have any, you know what I'm saying? But leaning really hard towards the money side. Going back to what Jesus said, right? You can't serve two masters, Matthew 6, 24, right? And I know it may be hard to hear, but I'm talking about me. I was there, you know, going after money, you know, and but believing that it was my God-given right. Doesn't God want me to be blessed? You see? And yet, and so in modern terms, blessed becomes about money. You see what I'm saying? All the definitions get jacked up, Troy.
It's and
You
it's
know?
unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate because blessed, God's blessing on your life, oh my God, is so much bigger than money.
It is.
You know?
So okay, to this point, because we gonna dive in, okay? Genesis 15, right?
All right.
This is what God says to Abram, you know, when he calls Abram. He says, I am not all this stuff and all this. He said, I am your exceedingly great reward.
Yes.
Me. Right? How much better can you get than that?
You can't get any better than that.
You know, and I know eventually we see, okay, well, Abraham was a man of wealth and all this kind of stuff, and this covenant that God had with Abram brought him wealth. And no, it didn't. Honestly, it didn't. If you really want to talk about how Abram got wealthy, different conversation. Different conversation is not
It's
what
a
you
different
think.
conversation, dude.
It's not what you think, but it's fine. But I think people just equate the two, that because Abram was blessed, the blessing was the outward manifestation that you see. But that's not where the blessing was. The blessing was when God said, I am your exceedingly great reward.
That's exactly where the blessing was.
Said, I
And
am.
I think that that has been, by and large, lost, right? It's a lost concept. It's a lost truth for many modern day believers. I believe that.
Correct. And to further that point, when the tribes were created, you know, from the birthright and all this kind of stuff, and they finally got into the promised land, they divvied out the land, and you had one tribe who didn't get anything, right? They had no inheritance, what the Bible says. And you're like, well, the Levites, why didn't they get anything? And God told them, yeah, I'm going to be your reward.
I'm going to be your reward.
Everybody else is going to get this. Should be a clue to everybody.
Oh man, come on,
This should
man.
be a
Talk
clue to
about it.
everybody. I'm
Talk
going to give
about
the
it.
rest of you guys land. I'm going to give you places where you can plant and you can build wealth and you can expand wealth and you can do all.
Yes.
But for you guys,
Yeah.
not only did I keep you at the center of this tabernacle,
Yeah.
right? Not only did I keep you closest to me inside this tabernacle.
Yeah.
But when we get into the promised land, I'm still going to keep you close to me because I'm going to be your reward.
Yes.
Everybody else is going to get all this other stuff. You're going to get
Yes.
me.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
should turn the light bulb on, right?
It
But
should turn the light bulb on, man.
sometimes we still get too focused on the outwardly and we don't see the spiritual reality. So,
Well, I'm a minister of the gospel, so are you, and
yes,
so
sir.
should everybody who's called by the name of the Lord. I'll throw that out there as well.
That's
You
right.
know, but as far as what we know as the fivefold ministry, you know, we both are in that category.
Yes, sir.
And so I can talk about them because I'm talking about us when I talk about them, right? One
Correct.
of the problems, one of the big problems is the teaching. How is it being taught? Is it being taught? Right? Two very major questions. Is it being taught? I got three. How is it being taught? And is it being taught correctly? And correctly don't have anything to do with H.B. Franklin or Troy Boozer. Correctly has to do with the the word of God.
Correct.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
saying? And so I, you know, and so, you know, and this is why we always say, and we go all the way around the barrel and come back to make the point that we are not here to beat up on people. And we've
No.
always said it, we'll continue to say it, you know,
Yes, sir.
so that folks can stay open. You don't have to close up because we ain't calling no names, you know what I'm saying? We give some examples. If we do, we're not giving names and that kind of thing. But so that everybody can receive it, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can in their own quiet time with God, listening to this podcast or watching it or whatever, whenever you do, just to say, you know, in your own heart, God, where am I concerning this money thing?
Yeah.
You know, where am I concerning this money thing? What do I know and what don't I know? One of the things that has helped me tremendously, Troy, over the years is asking God not only about what I know, but asking him, what don't I, I'm sorry, not only about what I don't know, because I know there's a lot I don't know, right? But
yeah,
really
yeah.
having conversations with the Lord to find out, God, what do I actually know? And and there's a test for that, and it's really simple, really simple. You and I have talked about this many, many, many times, right? Revelation is not revelation until you're able to apply it to your life.
Correct.
Correct. Simple.
Correct, because if it was revelation, you'd do it.
If it was revelation, it would be working in your life.
Correct.
And so I think there's a lot of stuff out here concerning mammon, the spirit of mammon, money. Jesus said, you can't serve both. You'll hate one, love the other, or cling to one and despise the other.
Mm-hmm. You will.
Will.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my question, our question on this podcast today is, where are you in relation to Matthew 6, verse 24? Where are we in relation to what Jesus said about money, about mammon, about loving one? Because I think there may be a lot of people. I was there, man.
Yeah.
Believing in my mind, at least in my heart, I hope, that I love Jesus with all my heart, but went through a period of time where I found that I was serving money, or at least trying to, because I wanted some. And there is a scripture that there's a scripture I want to get to, Troy, and I'm going to go ahead and put that out there right now, right? I'm not going to wait till later.
Yeah,
put it out there now.
Let's get it.
Listen, man. Proverbs 23. 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Do not toil to acquire wealth.
Oh,
be
boy.
Discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven.
Yeah, man. Look, I've been teaching my daughters for a long time, and Bruce, I think you and I have talked about this too, because we raised them a little bit different, you know.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
But I've taught my daughters, never take a job because of money.
Dude.
Never take a job because of money.
Bravo.
Always take the job because this is where Holy Spirit needs you to be.
Yeah.
You take the job because of purpose, not because of money.
Sure.
I have turned down money, a good amount of money before.
So have I.
To stay where God needed me to be at the time.
Yes, sir.
And when he finally released me from there and sent me to my next location, somehow I got the money too.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But I didn't seek first the money. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, right?
Yeah.
And so this is just part of it. And I've taught my daughters this, you know, times can get tough. Times can get tight. Times, you know, I get all that. But at the end, either you're going to trust God or you're not.
Yeah. No, exactly, man. Exactly right. Listen, I had a thought concerning that scripture I just read, Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. If you guys are writing it down, anyone who's watching or listening. But I had a thought, man. And here's the thought. If you go after money. Remember I said in my mind, it's mammon, the spirit, money, the item, right?
That's right.
If you go after money, the item, You are going after Mammon, the spirit.
The spirit.
And Mammon, the spirit, will keep money, the item, out of your reach until you've come far enough away from God to start serving it.
Oh,
yeah, buddy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
oh.
Eventually, money will leave again, but now I'm leaving you without money and also without God. This is why you don't go after money.
Yeah.
This is why everybody has to learn that he is what? You said it earlier. What did he say to Abraham?
He is my exceedingly great reward.
He is my exceedingly great reward.
Yeah.
If God can't do it, let me say it like this, because we know he can. If God won't do it, what am I going to do with it? Work five jobs? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with it? Now, don't get me wrong. There is a time to grind.
Sure.
That may very well be putting actions to your faith. Don't nobody, please don't get us wrong. There is always a time when, God's going to let you grind it out because it may be actions to your faith. What I'm saying is, where is our heart? Have
That's
we asked the Father to take care of us? Have we declared to the Father, have we expressed to the Father that I know that you're the one that's taking care of me and my family? You even make me look good in front of my family, but God, I don't have it twisted, and I'll never get it twisted. I know that you're the one providing for me.
Even in those times to grind, you have to know what you're grinding for.
That's exactly right.
The purpose of the grind.
That's exactly right.
Like
man.
You said, if you're putting action to faith, then you're probably grinding for the right reason. But if you're grinding because I got to get these bills paid.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, it's got to be to the point where you know he's the one that provides.
You got to know that he's the one that's providing for you.
In our culture, we look at the man as the provider. And I quickly tell everybody, I have never been the provider for my family. I have been the instrument that God uses in which to provide. But I am not the provider for my family.
Yes.
God provides for my family, and he uses me to do it. That's just the way I see it. I believe that's just the way it is.
When I started getting this revelation, Troy, let me tell you one of the things that happened to me. I stopped saying I got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds real practical, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my mindset was changing. So I stopped saying, hey, I got to go to work. I got to go to work. I have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And start saying, I get to go to work.
Yeah, there you go.
Praise God, I get to go to work. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening my back, for giving me an intellect, a strong intellect. Thank you for giving me something that I can put my hands to. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you that this is one of the ways that you bless me, you know, but I'm grateful that now I understand it's you that's blessing me. It's you that's keeping me. And so I get to participate in that as a man. I get to participate in that, and I get to get up and go to work.
Yeah.
When I began to get this revelation, my language changed because my mindset changed. You know what I'm saying?
Man. True revelation at that point. It's true revelation.
It's true revelation at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to press a little further in, okay?
Let's get it.
One of the things that messes with me, particularly about the church and church leaders and church folk, is having a discount mentality.
I think
that's still part of this mammon thing. Because we done said it, I don't know how many times already, Troy, about God being our exceeding great reward.
Mm-hmm.
And yet every time you turn around, the church can't hardly do business without expecting a discount.
Yeah.
There's a mentality there.
Yeah.
And let me just answer the question real quick. Let me speak to what somebody might be saying right now. No, that has nothing to do with being a good steward. I'm talking about a mentality. I'm not talking about trying to do business with somebody and they are deliberately trying to rake you across the coals and get more out of you than
completely different.
That's completely different.
Completely
be
different.
A good
yeah.
steward in that regard, right?
Yeah.
I don't even have a problem with bartering. I like to barter when I can, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about always almost having a handout mentality. You're always wanting God's work to be somehow paid for, always at a discounted rate, and you'll call that the blessing of the Lord. But what if you're dealing with a man or woman of God that has a business who are also trusting God to take care of them? And they
yeah.
can't give you a discount, a deep discount, every time you come wanting services or products or goods. I'm just dealing with some things that I think about, okay? These are just things that I think about, Troy. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
Your
nobody else,
rant.
Maybe everybody's saying he's off the chain today, but these are just things that I think about, man. These
no,
are
there,
things that change
mentality.
For me.
It's a mentality that goes with that.
It is a mentality so,
yeah,
that goes with it.
We can't. So, okay. God knows I didn't want to do all this. You got me started. Okay. So here's that same mentality on a personal level. You ready?
Yeah.
You have these services where people will give a testimony and they will say, well, I owed X amount of thousands of dollars to this certain agency. And I was talking to the woman on the phone and she looked in the system and all my debt was canceled. Right? Now, I'm not saying that God can't do that. Right? This is what I'm saying. Okay. This is what I'm saying. And hopefully this makes sense to you. People will get excited. They will get, emotional. They will run and jump and all this kind of stuff because the debt in the computer got erased.
Yeah.
The problem with that mentality is you're not the owner of the business that doesn't get paid now.
That doesn't get paid now.
Yeah, you're not the owner of the business. If you were the owner of the business, you'd be upset that couple of thousand dollars is not coming your way because.
Right.
So I'm like this. Okay, if you have enough faith to believe that debt can be canceled supernaturally, why can't you have enough faith that God can bring you up? You see what I mean? In your employment or in your own business or to where you can pay what you said you would pay.
Exactly right.
You understand? It's the same thing.
What happened to honoring your word?
Correct. Correct. It's simple. Your yes is yes. Your no is no.
Your yes is yes. Your no is no. You keep your word. The Bible says, even if you got to do it to your own hurt.
Your own hurt. To
your
own
hurt. You know what I'm saying? Even if you got to do it to your own hurt, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking, having a conversation with a close friend. And she was talking about how there was a time in her life. She's not there now. I mean, she's doing so well now, you know. But there was a time in her life. Where she had to, I think she had to file bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a couple of different kinds, at least in America, there's a couple of different kinds of bankruptcy that you can file, right? And I won't go through them. We're not doing a bankruptcy class. But one of the kinds is that you're declaring, you know, to declare bankruptcy is actually to declare, I am declaring poverty. That's what declaring bankruptcy means, right?
Yep.
But there is one kind, and I was, you know, I didn't even know her then, but I was so proud of her as a woman of God. This is, listen, I got to say this. This is no throw off. This is no throwing shade at anybody who's ever had to declare bankruptcy, no matter what kind of bankruptcy you declared. But it just made me think about, she said to me, you know, I thought about, you know, I wanted to declare the kind, not that nobody gets paid. I wanted to declare the kind where they set me up on a payment plan. You know what I'm saying? So she wanted to try, even in the worst situation, financial situation she found herself in, she still had a desire in her heart to pay the people that she owed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that
integrity.
Goes a long way with God, dude.
Yeah,
it's
integrity.
I just do, man. It's integrity, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I think it goes a long way with God, man. But anyway, this mammon thing, man, I think that there are believers believers in Jesus who, if they were to be real honest and just think through this thing, might find that they might be in the worship of or dangerously close to worshiping mammon.
Yeah. So who is your pursuit for? That's who you worship, right?
That's who you worship.
Who is your pursuit for? If your pursuit is for God, then let it be for God. But if your pursuit is for money, you know, you'll know, because that's whatever you're pursuing is what's going to guide your decisions.
That's exactly right.
Right? Whatever you give yourself over to is what's going to guide your decisions.
That's exactly right.
If you find yourself consistently making decisions based on money, then you kind of answered the question for yourself, right?
Yeah,
here's
sure.
The key. Money, mammon cannot lead and guide you into all truth.
It cannot.
That is the ministry of Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth.
Yes.
That's his job.
Yes.
If you rely on mammon, you'll be prodded and you'll be driven. You won't be led and guided. Holy Spirit will lead and guide. He will not drive you.
Holy Spirit
money
leads
will drive
and guides.
You. Yeah.
That's exactly right,
it's
man.
Completely different. It's completely
I'm glad
different.
You made that distinction, because that is gold right there.
Yeah, man.
You know what
I'm
saying?
It's what it is, man, because people think, well, Holy Spirit's driving. No. He doesn't drive.
Nope.
He doesn't drive you like that. He leads and he guides you.
That's exactly
right. It's up to you
right.
to determine whether you want to follow or not.
That's
if you want to
exactly
follow,
right.
He's not going to make you follow.
He's not going
to
make
The thing
you
about
follow.
money's going to eventually make you follow.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, he'll pull you far enough away.
Yep.
Mammon will pull you far enough away to where I'm a man without a country.
Yep.
Right? I've left God, and you don't even want me anymore.
Yep.
I'm a man without a country. You see what I mean?
Because we're designed to be tools in God's hands, not in mammon's hands.
Correct. Correct.
We're designed to fit in God's hands, right?
That's right.
And therefore, mammon or money should be a tool in our hands for the time that we have been assigned to this, you know, I like to call it jurisdiction, to the time that we've been assigned to this earth, and we are within our jurisdiction. You know, the only thing that should be using us is God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that should be using us is God.
That's right.
You know, I once said, I put this on social media a couple of years ago. I said, and this was just a thought I had just thinking through some stuff with the Lord one day, Troy. And I made the point, I should have pulled it up so I won't misquote my own self, but I made the point, and I thought it was a good point to put on social media. Don't find yourself asking one God to help you serve another God. That would be awkward. I'll say it again for those in the back. Don't find yourself asking one God to help you serve another God. That would be awkward.
So let me tell you what I got in mind.
Let's talk about it, man.
Matthew chapter 6 again, right? He says you can't serve both, right?
Yes.
He also says this in the book of Matthew. I want to say it's right around 14 or so, somewhere around there. He said it would be difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
I knew that's where you were going.
Right?
Difficult.
It'd be difficult. Knowing this, and I want people to just kind of pause and think about this for a second. We'll keep talking.
Yeah.
You just listen to the recording and you can catch up. You know, just pause and listen to this for a second. This is what I have in my notes to go along with what you're saying. Since God is telling you, you can't serve money.
Yeah.
And he's also telling you that it'd be difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why then would he tempt you with the very thing that would cause you to trip and stumble?
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Why would
Paul.
He do that?
Come on. Selah.
Why would he do that?
Think about that. Selah,
he knows
Paul.
This is a stumbling block. It can be a potential. Why would he tempt you with that?
Why?
It doesn't make sense.
It
and
does
so,
not make biblical sense at all.
It doesn't. So you have all the, listen, we've talked about that fivefold ministry before, and we'll talk about it again at some point. Probably here in season five, we'll probably talk about fivefold ministry again. Perfectly
Probably.
fine. Specifically with these prophetic voices. And it's just interesting to me that people think that prophecy, especially coming from the prophets, is always good, right? And I'm
Yeah.
like, there's a whole lot of prophecy in the Bible that not good at all.
That would could not in a stretch of any stretch of imagination be considered good.
Correct. And it's so funny that we can easily be manipulated in the area of prophecy, especially when it comes to money.
Yes, sir.
That God is going to give you a financial blessing, right?
Yes, sir.
When the truth of the matter is, God already gave that to you when he said, I am your exceedingly great reward.
Come on.
He's already given
Come
that to
on.
you.
Come on.
He's already
Come on.
given that to you. Everything that you need. Now, the problem is, Bruce, and this is what I believe the problem is, the radio is playing, but you haven't tuned into the right station.
Oh, come on, Troy. That's good.
He's talking to you and telling you and giving you the strategy the whole time, but you haven't tuned into the right station.
That's
You're
good.
listening to everything else except for the broadcaster you need to be listening to.
Yeah.
Does that make
Yeah.
sense?
Makes sense to
This
me.
is it, this is where we have some of the issues. So you have all these prophetic voices that are telling you, and just like you mentioned before, people are giving you all this strategy so that you can be successful when really the only thing you need to do, and we've said this so many times on this podcast, the only thing you need to do to be successful is obey God.
That's it.
That's the only thing you need to
That's
do.
it.
And he'll make
That's
your
it.
way straight.
That's it.
It's the only thing you need to do. Now, success and wealth, two different things. But our mind equates them as the same. And I'm
Yeah.
not successful if I'm not wealthy. And that's just not the case.
That is
I'm
not.
successful because I'm obedient.
Yes.
And if wealth comes, it comes. But
Yes.
here's the thing. God is definitely not going to put this in my hand if my heart is not right as it pertains to him. If he
Why
knows
should
this
he?
is going to draw this away from him,
It's
why
going to
would he
draw
do
us
that
away
to me?
from him. Why would he do it?
So that's why
That's
would
why
God
would he
tempt
do
you
it?
with it? Why would he
Well,
tempt
that
you with it?
I said this. I said this on. It may have been our last, that podcast I referred to earlier. Mercenary ministry. I might have said it then. I think it stands repeating, man. You know, this is why. I believe this is why, Troy. Scores and scores and scores of believers, ministers of the gospels, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and lay people will never hit the lottery if they're playing.
Man.
Will never get more than just a little bit, maybe just a little more than what they need from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. Because why? Right? Would God help you serve another God?
Yeah, man.
Why would He help you get away from Him? You know what I'm saying? Why would He do it? If the heart is not right concerning money, you know what I'm saying? Money will destroy you. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over. Back in the day, we used to do a lot of counseling, marriage counseling. It's amazing. This one couple. Oh my goodness, decades ago now. It's one couple, they were so strong in the Lord together, man, back to back. I got them on this side, you hit them, you hit the enemy in the throat, I'll catch him in the knee kind of thing, right? And then they started doing well. They started doing financially well and ended up in counseling, and I don't even know today if they're still together or not. But it, you know what I'm saying? So
That's
it's like
unfortunate.
Man, you know, come on, come on. The blessing, right? The blessing of the Lord, the Bible says this, the blessing of the Lord
You might have to say this real slow.
makes the blessing of the Lord makes rich, right? And adds no sorrow,
Oh boy.
no sorrow.
That second part, yeah.
No sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it.
Oh, boy.
So even for those who want to call the blessing money or wealth or things or stuff or a new car or a new house, if it's adding sorrow, full stop.
Money has its place. There's in context, it's a tool in your hand. Again, we talked about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
There's some things that you can do for the good with money. There's also some wicked things that you can do with money. And then there's that area in between those two. You know what I mean? There's a whole bunch of stops you can make in between those two.
Oh, yeah, man.
Which is, you know, it gets kind of interesting, right? Because people can try to validate their actions, their behavior, their thought, you know, by looking at the end result.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is not the best way.
That's right.
David said this. He asked God to examine him and see if you find any. No, don't look at my end work. Examine me on the inside and see if there's any flaw in me, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's probably going to be your better way. Now, I had this thought, Bruce, Lucifer in heaven and his fall. And here's the key. He said, I'll be like the Most High, right?
Yeah.
I will ascend my throne, you know, to the heavens. But the key is, he says, I will be like the Most High.
Yeah.
I'll be just like him, right? This has never stopped for him, even though he knows it can never happen.
Right.
It can never happen.
Right.
He wants to be like God.
Yes.
So in reality, he can't be like God, but in deception, he can be.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
So in deception, he can present himself like God, and this is what he does. Okay? He loves to mimic the things of God. He loves to mimic the things of God. Now, this is why this is all important, right? Because his job is to not really to pervert, but to deceive you into perverting, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
inside that deception, he's like God, right? Whatever he presents to you.
Yes.
Jesus said this. He said this in John, the book of John. He said, even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Now watch this. He said, and if I be lifted up,
yeah,
I will draw all men unto me. This is Jesus, who is God in the flesh. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. When he's lifted up, he draws men.
Yeah.
So what does Satan do in his mimicry?
Yep.
If he lifts up mammon.
That's really good, man.
Then what is he trying to do? He's trying to draw you.
He's trying to draw you.
Yeah. This is part of the tactic, right? And I know some people are like, that's going too far. No, it's not. It's not, because you have to know who your enemy is. You have to know what his tactics are. You have to know his ways.
Yep.
We're not to be ignorant of his devices.
That's right.
This is how he's always been. He wants to be like God, so he mimics just about everything that God does.
That's right.
Just about everything. So why wouldn't he do the same with this? If he can get your pastors and your church leaders to lift up money from the earth, then guess what happens? It'll draw the people.
Good night.
It'll draw the people.
Man.
This is very problematic.
Yes, it is.
And it's very widespread.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's an issue.
It is an issue.
That's an issue.
I have another scripture, 1 Timothy 6:17.
Yes, sir.
As for the rich, now this is interesting. It says rich. He's talking about wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
People who have money, things, and stuff. 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, just to make the point you made earlier, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wind back just a little bit, and you got to see that juxtaposition, right? So these two thoughts juxtapose one another. So start that one over.
As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God.
Watch this. Now, here's the juxtaposition, right? The uncertainty of riches.
Yeah.
Money is uncertain.
Money is uncertain.
But then it says, but. So that's where we juxtapose, right?
Yep. Yep.
And we put God in that position opposite of this uncertain thing.
Yep.
Don't set your heart on this uncertain thing, but on the certain thing, which is
but
God.
On a certain thing. No, that's exactly what it's saying. Okay, so now I need to go back for a minute, because when I was talking about, Troy, when I was talking about this discounted mentality, I'm going to say it how I'm going to say it, okay? It's a pauper's mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poor man's mentality.
Yeah, I got you.
Now, what about God is paupery and poor? I made that word up, paupery. That's a made-up word. What about God is poor?
I think that's the first one for the season. First made-up
word.
First,
made-up word for
but
the season.
I got it. Paupery. Got it.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it. Listen to this. You have trouble letting money go, as if you're never going to get any more. You may be dangerously close to serving mammon.
Oh, boy.
You complain about the cost of everything.
Oh, boy.
You may be dangerously close to serving mammon. You don't like paying people, and you hate paying them on time. You may be dangerously close to serving mammon.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to put that out there, because I was going to say it earlier. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and people say, oh, man, this is tough. Yeah, it's tough. But
yeah,
guess what? It's what the word of God is saying to every single one of us.
Oh, man.
Troy, I believe this. I'm going to say this. Okay, let me just be prophetic for a minute, if I might. I believe that this particular issue we're talking about right now, mammon, money, right, and the love of it, they may very well be the thing, or at least one of the big things, the big white elephant in the room thing, that is keeping the body from getting herself together, from, you know what I'm saying, from being able to be at a better place in the earth than where she currently is.
Yeah.
I believe that.
No, I think it's a good point.
I believe that we are on a timeline with God, and that we need to be somewhere as the body of Christ by a certain year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. I've been declaring that since 2020, since January 2020, about this whole decade of 2020 to 2030. I don't know what's coming, but I do believe that I hear from God, and that God showed me that there's something big that's coming the end of 2029, going into 2030, or during 2030. I don't even know if it's one big thing or if it's the beginning of a big thing, but I do believe that I hear from God, and I do believe that there's something that he is trying to bring the body of Christ to a place of functionality, a place where we function better in and with him, where we're not sidetracked by this kind of stuff. We're not sidetracked by money. We're not sidetracked. Everybody talks about, you know, the wealth of the rich is laid up for the just. Yeah, okay. How long we been saying that?
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says that the diligent hand, boy, am I going to talk about this?
Let's talk about it.
There's a scripture that says that it's the diligent hand that will have rulership.
So what you're saying is, even if that wealth is laid up, you still got to go do something to get
it. Yeah. Faith without works is dead.
Completely dead. Being alone. Yep.
But it has to be done inside of God, It has to be done the way that he prescribes. You know, you cannot expect the blessing of the Lord based on your own personal efforts. There's not enough marketing money that you can pay to be successful in the eyes of God if God didn't tell you to go that route. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's not enough plays that you can put on in your church to draw people if that's not what God considers success.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that we're going to have God's kind of success, and that success may happen to bring you, I always say it like this. God told me one day, he said, listen, tell the people to just be the water hose. Don't try to be the one controlling the hose, the water going through the hose. Be okay with just being the water hose, Troy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
try to kink the hose. Don't. That's not your job. Your job is to allow me to flow through you. And if you allow me to flow through you, not just concerning money, because we haven't even talked about giving yet.
Oh, man.
Not giving in the setting of church only, but giving of your life and your time and, yes, your money. You want to know another reason that I know that this is real for a lot of people in the body of Christ that have a pauper's mentality? Because even when they hear from God, Troy, and God says, I want you to take $500 and go over here and give it to them, and you say, the devil is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I got is $500.
Yeah.
I want you to take $300. I want you to take $50. The Lord told me one day to give someone $5. I felt stupid giving it to them because it was only $5. I believe he was testing me to see would I be obedient with $5, then $50, then $500, then $5,000, then $50. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
There are people who struggle, and I want you to ask yourself, why do I struggle when it comes to money? Not struggling to get it, struggling to understand how to live in God and have it. Because that's the thing. How do I live in God and have money and not bust hell wide open?
Yeah.
And not have God say to me, you know, it was a good run, but I never actually came to know you, so depart from me, you illegal worker.
Brutal. That's brutal. There's a balance that we're supposed to have that we're not going to be able to do on our own.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Holy Spirit is the balance. Obedience is the balance. And as you learn to obey, as you learn to live a life of obedience, then guess what? God can trust you with more stuff.
That's exactly right.
Right? He can trust you with more stuff. It's this rebellious pauper's mentality, because he never told us to have that. Right? He never told us to have that. It's that rebellious pauper's mentality is what gets us in trouble. There's some folks that are listening now. And I know we probably won't get a chance to talk about giving. That's fine. That just means we'll have to do another part of this podcast.
Sir.
But here's the deal. You can have the impressed on your heart, and you see this poor homeless person on the street, and you have money on you, and you're like, he's probably just going to use that to.
Yep. Yep.
Once you give it to him, it's his to do whatever he wants to with. But are you willing to help? Are you willing to take care of the homeless and the poor and the widow and the orphans?
Yeah.
Are you willing to do this stuff? You know,
well,
the least
I've
of
heard,
them.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've heard people go back and forth with this, man. I don't really get into all of this stuff, man. I've heard preachers go back and forth. You know, is it God's or is it mine? If God gives me something, is it mine or is it still God's? You know, and I've heard all kinds of answers, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the pertinent question.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pertinent question is, am I God's?
Yeah.
am I really God's or am I my own? Am I my own? Okay, Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.
Please don't get me started on that.
Dude, man, I'm telling you, this is near and dear to my heart because I believe because God put it there. I'd been thinking on this thing for a while, and I was like chomping at the bit, you know, for us to just, you know, just start talking about it a little bit, man. You know, and God bless you. You're out there. I hope it's doing you good. I hope it makes you think. I actually don't even mind it ticking you off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because I know then that you'll think about it, you know, maybe even a little deeper. You know, we're not here to piss anybody off, you know.
Yeah.
But so far, we have quoted how many scripture and then gave a little bit of commentary concerning the scripture.
About to give you another one because you got me started.
Let's go, man.
I didn't want to do this. Colossians 3, right? Mm-hmm. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God.
Yes, sir.
Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Man, that's okay. All right. That's something right there. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what that means? When your life is hid with Christ, it means you can't even find you anymore.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
You look for you come see on, him.
Come on.
You can't even see you anymore. You see him. Either way, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil, and watch this, covetousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Now, watch this. It says covetousness, which is idolatry.
Which is idolatry. Thank you for reading that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
It says, listen, let's go back. Let's go back a minute. It says mortify.
Mortify, put to death.
Put it to death.
Put to death. All right, here we go, because we'll go rotten.
Good to me, bro.
We'll go rotten fruit on you. That's one of the series that we're currently doing right now. Right. So it says put to death, which means mortify, put to death your members, which are upon the earth. Now, watch this. It says put to death your members. But it talks about it doesn't tell you what the members are. It tells you what the members do. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Put to death the members that cause you to fornicate.
Yes,
put
sir.
To death the members that cause you to be unclean. Put to death the members that cause inordinate affections and covetousness. Put to death those members.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real
covetousness
talk.
Is idolatry.
It's
the
idolatry,
thing that
man.
You covet becomes your God. And it's so interesting that we're talking about mammon in this conversation and idolatry in the same conversation because
same
they belong in the same conversation.
That's exactly right.
No,
that's exactly right, man. Once again, we're talking mentality.
Absolutely.
We're talking about how to see everything that God wants us to see in relation to mammon, the spirit, and money, the representation or the item itself.
Right.
And dude, I could go on for another hour easily just quoting scripture.
Correct.
Concerning this particular topic. We won't. We may have to come back around to it. But
I think we should, because I don't. Yeah, there's still meat on the bone. Right. So the one thing I'll say is this.
On the bone.
Leviticus 11 is somewhere in the 40s somewhere. Leviticus 11, I want to say 43, 44, somewhere around there. There's a statement that God makes. It's not a request. It is a command. He says, be holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
Not. This is the deal. He called you to holiness. You talked about a standard. That's what the standard is to be holy.
Yes.
To be holy, for I am holy. I want you to be sacred. I want you to be set apart. I want you to separate yourselves. Be holy, for I am holy. I have called you to holiness.
Yes.
I did not call you to wealth. I called you to holiness.
Yep.
The standard is holiness. Now, what you do after that and what you do with that determines whether you're going to live up to the standard or not. I've right. laid the standard for you. It's up to you to stick to that standard. I'm not going to force you to do it. The only thing that I'm going to do is give you a command, not a request.
That's right.
Be holy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, man. That's real.
I love it. Good stuff, man.
That's real. I think that's as far as we can get today, right?
I think so, man, but it sounds like we're going to have to pick this up.
I think we might have to pick it up. We haven't done a part one, part two of a subject in a while, you know, so we may have to pick it back up.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us here under the fig tree.
Blessings.